Blog Talk Radio.
For the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
And you will know us by the trail of dead.
The truth of your world government has now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you are evil. Today the Rockefeller, the Rothschild representatives here, to the Queen of the Netherlands, to all of you, we tell you, you are not our queen. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans and stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We will defeat your world government. We will defeat world taxation. We will defeat your control grid. God is on our side. I stand before the Creator of the universe. And I ask the Creator of the universe, as our founding fathers did in 1776, to lead, guide, and direct us, and to give us the power and the foresight and the understanding and the will to stand against your entire agenda, including your final plan of world population reduction of 80% that Henry Kissinger penned in 1973. Why do you put mercury in the vaccines instead of sodium chloride in the water? Why? Why do you put cancer viruses in the vaccines? Why have you used depleted uranium now in four separate nations? You're arrogant. You have the sickness that elites have had throughout history in their literal and, in some cases, figurative ivory towers. You believe that you're invincible. You will and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The orders you're taking right now are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play a effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they committed against you and your family as well. You want to stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of the Crimes Code, no matter what your purpose is. You must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action. Other police action may include actual physical removal, the use of riot control agents and or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who remain.
If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
We must be
in the
prison.
In the prison.
Brian. Welcome to blocktechradio.com/truthemerges. Radio Network. This is the Sonny Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. And we had a little bit of some technical difficulties this evening. I was actually trying to use our new Skype connection that we've got set up for us Truth Emerges hosts. But as typical, the technology isn't worth a shit it's written on. And just kept on crashing on me. So really had some issues there. So I tried using Skype once before, even though it was very bad. I remember when I did it, I think it was, I don't know, my sixth or seventh episode. It's so bad, I just totally dropped it. I've been doing regular phone line ever since because, in fact, it's just complete crap, and it's definitely not worth it. The technology has some serious bugs in it and definitely not recommended for stuff. Now, it's funny because if hosts use it on Blog Talk, it has issues. If guests call in on Skype, I don't have any issues at all. It's absolutely amazing to me how that shit works out, but, you know, I don't know. It must be a technical issue. We've told Blog Talk about it, but it pretty much goes in one ear and out the other, nevertheless. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff to cover today. I have no guests today. It's just you wild and crazy host, me. Sonny motherfucking D, bitches. And that's all you need. And let's see what else. A lot of stuff to cover in the local media as of late, as well as a lot of good stuff on the Facebook page. And again, I want to constantly encourage you to go to many pages that we feature, obviously. You want to go to facebook.com/Sonny Thomas Show. Look at all the stories we got on there. Also, go to facebook.com/youareawakenowbeaware, which is soon to be changed to Truth Emerges RDO. So we're trying to get some stuff changed on that to make it as simple as possible. You can also follow us on Twitter at TruthEmergesRDO, as well as at Sonny Thomas Show. And you can follow my main Twitter at Springboro T. That's where I do a lot of my stuff, but nevertheless. So on top of my really great three ladies that I have that really know how to find some really great content to talk about and just to keep all my listeners and other viewers informed, which is Toto, Space Cadet, and Bubble T. You've also just added Corinne Smith. She is the lady that a lady named Natasha in South Africa had hooked me up with to bring me some of the civil rights activists for the Boer in South Africa. She is originally from South Africa. She's actually now in the United States. She's married to an American who is a Texan. And she also will be a fill-in host for me from time to time when I have stuff come up and won't be able to be the main host for the night. So forward to not only bringing her on as a contributor, I look very much forward to her bringing on other guests, especially in the struggle and fight for the whites in South Africa. And also, looking forward to her commentaries when the time comes to be able to talk shop. So she's definitely a very good person on right, and she has a lot to talk about. And we really, on many of those issues, we hit a lot of the same chords. So I'm very proud to welcome Corinne Smith onto the Sonny Thomas Show to help us get the word out on not just conservative and libertarian issues, but also the civil rights of the whites in South Africa, which, again, is pretty much thrown out the door because of the fact that since Nelson Mandela is now officially dead and he's no longer Weekend at Bernie's popsicle, that basically nobody gives a shit about South Africa, so it's pretty much everybody's got a blind eye. So what's it going to take for someone to, does somebody famous have to die before something goes on? I don't know, but it's getting better all the time, that's for sure. Okay, so I've got some stuff here. We're going to go to the local papers first, and also an update. I was hoping to play a clip that I have, but again, we're using the one format over the other. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do this. However, I got several pages of the local Dayton Daily News stuff. And again, I affectionately call it the Dayton Daily Skews because it's completely skewed in many ways, shapes, and forms. Very far left-wing paper overall. And even Bill O'Reilly says it's even farther left than the New York Times. That really says a lot. So where shall we start first? Well, let's go back to Tuesday, June 16th. This is after that real big expose. Jeb Bush announced his run for the now pretty much considered compromised presidency. I mean, it's been compromised for 100 years ever since Woodrow Wilson, probably even before that. But the bottom line is it's pretty much been bought and paid for a long time. And the banksters run the presidency. And anyone that tries to do anything to stop the banksters winds up shot or dead. So that's pretty much how it rolls down to. The last real president we arguably had was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, because a lot of the stuff he was doing while he was in office, especially as he was getting his groove on, was to curb the intelligence community, to curb the military-industrial complex, and most of all, to curb the Federal Reserve. And you saw what happened to him. So nevertheless, and then when Reagan came on hardcore, almost like a John Bircher, he gets shot within a couple months of his inaugural. And a lot of his policies started to shift immediately after he got out of the hospital. No, they told him, next time he won't miss. So remember, again, I cannot stress this enough. When Politico put out the tweet almost a month ago now that there was a consensus brewing that they want to limit the Republican debates to 12 characters. And I told you, watch, they're going to hurry up and stuff the box with the biggest complete neocon rhino collection of SOBs you could ever imagine. And out of a possible pool of 20, damn near 12 are already officially in running. Two that have not officially announced yet are Mike Huckabee and George Pataki, former governors of Missouri and New York, respectively. And recently just jumped in, of course, Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, which, again, I'd like to know how in the hell he got out of his indictment. Maybe it's an interesting character, nonetheless. And, of course, Rick Santorum has recently jumped in, so Fear the Sweater Vest is back. And, of course, we've got probably the biggest expose of them all, which, I don't know, is really starting to become a really big competition when it comes to exposes. Lindsey Graham. I can't believe this guy would even be considered on running. I mean, what a joke. It clearly shows you that the National Republican Convention obviously does not have their shit together. Or this is business as usual. I mean, really, arguably, when you look at all the contestants already up there, really, is there any other even worth a shit? Because some of them, just by looking at their backgrounds and stuff like this, off the bat, for us libertarians and Jeffersonian Republicans and hardcore conservatives, would automatically X out. I mean, the things I've said about Rick Santorum before is, and I've heard him personally speak at a Lincoln Day dinner at the Warren County GOP back in 2012, and I imagine getting on Fox 19, and basically said, you guys like to hear a counter opinion. I said, basically, two things you got to say is, he talks the talk, we don't walk the walk. The bottom line is, the guy was not reelected senator from his own state. What does that tell you? That if his own people wouldn't even reelect him as senator, why in the hell should we look at him as a presidential candidate? He's a joke. He's an absolute joke. And then the one lady I know there who also happens to be on the Springboro City Council, her son, who was like, I don't know, 10 years old at the time, basically was like, oh, if you were able to vote, who would you vote for? Oh, I'd vote for Rick Santorum. Why? Because he's a Catholic. Oh, my God. Dude, Jesus Christ, dude. Clearly shows you why children should not ever be able to participate in any type of voting process, because they're definitely more stupid than most adults. But, I mean, goddamn, just because he's Catholic, you're fucking stupid. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, a guy's religious beliefs, it does not make him qualified to run for president. It doesn't make him better than another guy just because he's a Catholic or a Protestant. I mean, it's the type of shit you see over in the UK. You know, oh, he's a Catholic, he's a Protestant. Who cares? I really don't give a damn. As long as you ain't killing each other over some stupid religious mandate, who gives a fuck? Say that shit for over the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis. That's how I look at it. But I can tell you right now, Mike Huckabee better not even try to get in the race because he's a complete joke. The guy already quit his Fox News show, and he's already called it a day for that. But the bottom line is he's not even – he's very liberal in many ways. And they keep saber-rattling in the newspaper about John Kasich. Who gives a shit about John Kasich? One of the things I wanted to look at, I've talked to my executive chair at the Warren County GOP. I've also talked to some other people that are fairly influential in that body, and I said specifically, look, I think we should put forth some sort of motion and vote on it, and if not be unanimous, but we'll get a good solid majority and specifically say, and at this particular point, we can only stop a Republican governor, not a Democrat, but I think eventually the legislature could pass a law stating this, that if you are a sitting governor, I don't give a damn if it's your first or second term, if you are a sitting governor, you are to be ineligible to run for president unless your party drafts you as a VP pick. Then, and only then, can you be placed on a presidential ticket, which would be at the bottom of the bill, not the top, because of the fact that, I mean, look at it this way. John Kasich asked us to vote for him against Strickland back in 2010. They did. We've kept him in for 4 years. He's wanted to be reelected. Okay, fine. Show us what you've done. Well, I've done this and this and this and that. And the other. Okay, even though you push backdoor Obamacare through Medicaid enforcement and some other shenanigans, we're not too happy for you, but really there's no contest for you. Fitzgerald was a complete joke. So we reelected John Kasich. What does he do? As soon as the son of a bitch gets officially reelected, literally within 2 weeks, he's already traveling to pre-presidential poll states to start seeing if he would even be a possible candidate. I'm sorry, dude. I don't give a fuck who you are, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever. If you are the governor of the great sovereign state of Ohio, you are our executive, you are our leader. Act like it. We're not a stepping stone. We're not a building block for your freaking career, man. You are here to do a job for governor for 4 fucking years. Stay on it. If you want to run for president after your term is over officially, then do the next race like Jeb Bush did. Yes, then you should run for president if you think you have a viable option. But the bottom line is you should have 2 full terms as governor before you can even remotely think about running for president for the simple fact that you would be able to look at your – it's a referendum. Okay, what did you do as governor? Well, I did this and this and that and the other. What did you do bad as governor? Well, people say I did this and that and some other thing. Well, I think it's total horseshit that you would do that. For example, Sarah Palin could never be an option because the first thing that would happen is if she would run for president, they would absolutely just totally chastise her for abdicating her position in her first term, no less, first term as governor. Now, she understands the reasons why she did at the time. She's facing a lot of lawsuits because people obviously hated her, because she resonated with the people a lot, so she became a big target, and she was trying to avoid the cost of the lawsuits that were involved. Plus, she knew she had a lieutenant governor who was actually worth the job. So she looked in the rearview mirror before she jumped off the ship. I mean, I'm totally cool with that. But don't ever think about running for higher office ever again, Sarah. I mean, I love you personally. I mean, I've met you a couple times. You know, I've talked with you, I've even talked shop with you momentarily. But the bottom line is you're geopolitically ignorant, for one. You don't understand the basics of geopolitics. And because you're a Bible-thumping Christian, you'll be easily susceptible to the AIPAC lobbyists, which means the Zionists would totally have your freaking administration under wraps. The first time you do something wrong, you wind up dead. So, I mean, most of these candidates that they got running now are a complete joke. Marco Rubio isn't even a qualified candidate, much less even an option. They're already talking about Bobby Jindal possibly jumping in. He's not eligible either and really not an option. Scott Walker is a potential, and he's got a record to look at, but he's very liberal on many social issues. So those are things that you have to look at very carefully. And I'm sick of hearing this bullshit, oh, it doesn't matter, we've got to find somebody to be Hillary. This is the problem we have with our government system. You have two main dominant parties, which are just two different wings and the same bird of prey. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican. Anyone's better than Obama. Yeah, well, y'all said it about Bush, too, and we got stuck with Obama. Now we can't say anything about the guy just because of his sepia skin tone. That's bullshit. The guy has committed so many war crimes, violated the Constitution at least 57 times. 57 times he's violated the Constitution, and now he's being sued by 17 states for overstepping his boundaries. Why are we impeaching this son of a bitch? We wanted to impeach Nixon over fucking lying about Watergate? Bullshit, dude. He's probably flipping around in his grave going, damn, you wanted to get me just for lying about covering it up? Oh, I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. Obama is. But where the hell is our Congress? They're scared to death and impeach a son of a bitch just because he's black. I don't give a damn what color you are. I don't give a damn what creed you are. I don't give a damn what sex you are. Committed crimes against American people, and you violated the United States Constitution. You're out of here, buddy. Put that son of a bitch in fucking nice jewelry and walk him out to the nearest prison, man. I'm serious. I'm sick of this shit when these executives run amok and never get checked. The last time we were actually looking at a possible impeachment was in 2006 when Dennis Kucinich was bringing up impeachment charges against President Bush. And he had very legitimate charges to bring up. And, of course, to me, the most telling one was him basically using signing statements as executive orders to sidestep laws that he was signing into law. In other words, well, okay, I'm signing this bill, but using a signing statement basically saying, I'm not going to enforce this part, that part, this part. I'm going to enforce this. I'm going to overstep the bound on that one. In other words, he's basically writing liner notes on how in the hell he's going to implement or not implement the law. That is not his job. He's an executor, which means he executes the law, not executes as in killing it and doing whatever the hell he wants with it, executing it as once it's passed by Congress, you have to follow it word by word, not living, breathing laws, not living, breathing constitutions. It says very specifically, we've blurred everything now. We've blurred legal terms. We're blurring everything now. The social engineers have done a fantastic job destroying this country. First, they started by destroying the family unit with the family courts in the 1950s. They're not here to help families. They are to destroy them, period. The bottom line is, they are, and then the Civil Rights Acts and the Voting Acts of 64 and 65, respectively, destroyed the black communities because now, in place of dad, they have the government tit. And basically, no one gives a damn about trying to get out of slums. I tell you what thing that really infuriated me. There's a story that I covered on that was posted on the Facebook page. And I recently posted it on another message board that I'm on called Bolo and Burrow. And remember when I told you about a year and a half ago or so when the HUD secretary basically says, we're going to start force integrating blacks into white neighborhoods. Well, get ready, because here it comes. Shit. My one thing just died. Hang on. I've got to switch things here. Where the hell is it? There we go. Oh, that's wonderful. The frickin' Wi-Fi's down. Oh, that's fucking beautiful. Well, anyways, the bottom line is this, that HUD is now going to start force integrating colored in the neighborhoods. And not only that, one of the ways they're doing it is that they're using Section 8 voucher programs. In other words, if they don't already have a Section 8 community built in the area, they're going to start using vouchers to fill homes that they already have by landlords who own properties in that area. For example, there are two main ones in the Franklin area. There's Franklin Commons and Franklin Court. Both of those are Section 8 communities. Matter of fact, the one by the post office, I think it was Franklin Court, that one was so riddled with drug dealers But the cops even stopped going in there after a while because basically they didn't have a prayer. So they stopped doing it. And eventually it got cleaned up and finally started doing things more properly. Then Springboro started putting some stuff in a couple of different areas, and they use vouchers for those. They're not outright Section 8 projects, but they use vouchers for a lot of people who go in those apartments. And then my former landlord that I had not so long ago has owned several properties on one particular street, and he is now renting them out to Section 8 vouchers, which means, from what I've seen already, we're already starting to get the bottom of the barrel type of shenanigan people in there. Homeless people, in one particular unit, you got homeless people from the county that live there for a short amount of time, then they go somewhere else, okay? It isn't going to be too long before you start getting the blacks in on that street. Once you get them in, you can't get rid of them. They permeate like a virus, man. They bring all their friends and family all around, and next thing you know, crime starts going up. As soon as you start mentioning something about it, you're a fucking racist. That's just the way it is. Well, now HUD is already planning on setting up stuff where they can start force-integrating coloreds into white neighborhoods. And then, this is the top it off. Channel 7 the other morning had a story, which I'm still waiting for them to post it, not only on a website, but also on their YouTube, because I called inquiring about it. They refused to post it now. They had a feature on the other morning, and, of course, Letitia Perry, who's the black newscaster in the morning, she's got to do this story because that's the way Channel 7 does all the shit. Anything that's to do with the west side of blacks, you have a black anchor or a news reporter report on it. You don't have any white person ever talk about anything that's going on the west side, ever. Ever. Because that is just not only politically incorrect, but Christ, that person is just reading a teleprompter. What are you going to do, fucking hate on them just because they're reporting the news in your neighborhood? Really? I don't really care for a black person coming over in Beaver Creek, Inglewood, or Oakwood and talking about what's going on in those neighborhoods. I feel a little threatened because I look at it, he's just trying to find a way to worm his way in, you know, call it what it is. So the bottom line is this, man. They had showed a guy at a barber shop, probably on Hoover Avenue or Gettysburg or something like that, with his typical ghetto slang. He's up there like, Oakwood, Miamisburg, West Chilton, why can't our neighbors look like that? Well, quite simple, dude, for several reasons. For one is because white neighborhoods actually give a shit about their neighborhoods for the most part. As long as they don't let poor white trash come running around, they keep the neighborhoods clean. They don't have all this bullshit going around. You go over to the west side, what did Ryan McClain do for you? Well, to stop the violence, she goes and starts gating off every other street on the west side. In other words, they put up an iron wrought fence with two brick supports and block that end of the street off. What else do? They started putting speed bumps in the damn streets. First, they started off with those little concrete turtle backs about 20 years ago. When those didn't hold up as well, they started putting the asphalt speed bumps. And when they weren't high enough, they made them about a foot thick, so that way you couldn't do any high-speed drive-bys. And they started setting them up where they started doing about every four or five houses. So really, if you've got a beef and you're trying to shoot somebody, by the time you start hitting that speed bump, unless you're going 5 miles an hour, dude, you're probably going to miss, your bullet's going to straight, you're going to hit an innocent person, not the person you're targeting. But that was her way of doing that. And then not only that, but she started taking city money and buying up block by block each part of the west side. So that way the city owned it, and basically they could start kicking people out so they could sell it to people and make money off of it. That's what it boiled down to. Where do these blacks have to go? Well, they can't go to North Dayton because it's already full of poor white trash, blacks, and other vagrants. So what else do they got to go? Lower East End. Well, when that's already full and they've already got that shit and it pissed off all the neighbors, where do they go? They start moving in Belmont. Belmont used to be a suburb back in the 50s. Now it's just considered what used to be a decent middle-class neighborhood when I grew up there. Now it's starting to look like a slum. You drive up and down any one of those streets, the majority of them still have decent people living there. But you've already got your low-class people getting vouchers. Then you start to get the blacks, and now you got the Mexicans on Xenia Avenue. The bottom line is when you're letting these third world or other colored guys in there, they're totally taking the damn streets block by block. Seeing, yeah, it looks like little Tijuana now. It does. It looks, you feel like you're in Tijuana. They literally just totally captured that entire street. I think for the, mile and a half long it is, they've got three-quarters of a mile of it already busted up with Mexicans. I shit you not. And, of course, it's right by a Catholic church. And there's a little La Tienda nearby, which is a Mexican grocery store. That's when you know they're around, dude. Now, you go over to Woodman Park Apartments, they got such a cluster of them over there now that when you get on the bike trail that they set up and refurbished from old railroad track lines about 15 years ago, you find storage units and also other places now with complete Mexican feed. I'm actually working on a documentary on that. I've got the video stored in a different source. I have to find it. I don't have access to it right now, but I'm planning on putting this documentary out and also showing that not only after a while, they go and whitewash the whole damn thing and start over. Don't get me wrong. The artistry is beautiful. You know, nothing against the Hispanic people. They do make some great artwork. But you have to look at the artwork very closely. There's hidden messages inside of them. I actually contacted a gang-related guy out in Los Angeles a few years ago, and I asked him, I said, hey, I got some pictures here. Could you tell me if there's some hidden messages in this? Because I suspect there is something. He looked at it, and he said, yes, there are. There are actually four different messages in that particular picture that you sent me alone just on the storage building. He says, basically, if you look inside the lettering and the one particular fat letter of the D, he says, that is a noose around a white man's neck. I said, are you shitting me? He says, no, look at it again. That is sending a signal that basically we're coming to kill off your whites. And also he mentioned that some of the other hidden messages, not only in the fonts of the lettering that they made, but some of the images together tell a story. It's like a collage, but it's mosaic in a way that you really can't tell unless you know what the hell you're looking for. So when you go a few more paces back down the path to where the overpasses are and just look at some of the janky-ass graffiti, you can tell the graffiti from the typical East Dayton asshole. They usually have a very skinny-ass font. There's nothing really to it. There's no hidden meaning, basically just saying, you know, Larry was here or some shit like that, or, you know, Simone moans loud, or here are some chick's number, some stupid shit, okay? The bottom line is you go over a couple pylons over and you see where the sticks have gone and they've basically marked their territory. Basically, literally, they're marking their territory. You go down there and then you go walking through Woodman Park Apartments, look at the cars that are parked in the damn property, dude. Poopy rides, ghetto SUVs with big old spinners on the damn wheels, and then to top that off, certain units may have multiple cars per one section of a building. Just like the houses they live in, like up in Park Lane or in Springfield, they'll have six or seven cars to a house with 18 people in them. Why is it that the county cannot get on Mexicans for having large quantities of people living in within a particular building, but if a white family has more than six or seven people, they are to be scrutinized and probably fined. I shit you not. There's a double standard when it comes to white people, man. It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. Okay, so we got some really interesting good news coming up as well. Let's see if the Wi-Fi is still down. Anyways, I saw a story on there where it was saying that there were 16 or 19 known hate groups in South Carolina because of this bullshit shooting that happened in Charleston. I'm not even going to go into a lot of detail. But it's a typical raw story, complete left-wing communist rag hit piece. Basically, they're citing the Southern Poverty Law Center as a source again, and basically listing that, oh, there are 16 known hate groups in South Carolina alone. And the two things they point out, well, we know for a fact that actually two members or two branches of the League of the South are in South Carolina where the Confederate flag still flies on state buildings. Of course, they wanted to mention that. And then, of course, they want to go and attack the Council of Conservative Citizens. And in the process of doing that, they go and attack Kyle Rogers for something he factually said in 2012, And really, they didn't do a very good job trying to besmirch his statement. So I think it's funnier than shit. So if you get a chance, check out that story on Facebook.com/Sonny Thomas Show. Now, a couple things coming up. I have to get it confirmed, but probably next week I'm going to bring on Dr. Kelly Coles from the formerly of the Springboro School Board, as well as the president of the Warren County Tea Party, as well as president of the Ohio School Board Leadership Council, which is what she's going to be representing in the interview possibly next week. She had some very good, powerful stuff to recent post about the recent school leader proposal that Springboro is trying to do. This is a typical pattern of what happens when you say elections have consequences. This says it all. For example, there's a lot of shenanigans going on here. One thing you need to know about the power structure in the school system is the fact that the superintendent is the employee of the school board, not the other way around. This isn't Augustus Caesar and they're the Senate, and basically they just look like they're doing something and he calls the shots. That's not how it fucking works, but that's the way he's running it, and nobody's saying boo to him otherwise. He's also giving out $8,000 bonuses in cash to people of interest that have either helped push his agenda or are pushing something else. You know, I've actually had people who've actually seen Todd Petrie out in certain restaurants with female, shall we say, colleagues, as sure as hell ain't his wife. So, I mean, this is some crazy shit, and they're out there longer than a lunch hour. You know what I mean?
I don't take Grand Canvas anymore, Toto.
So, I mean, that's what it really turns out, man. It's a complete joke because of the fact that this guy basically tells the school what to do. This is what happens, Springboro, when you have on to elect a bunch of Marxist, cultural Marxist asshole motherfuckers. This is what happens when you let people that either have spouses that are actually on the school payroll or are actually teachers on staff. I've said this to you before. When you see the big push for them, they said they got the little red, and I call them the communist badges, the red rectangular magnetic decal, the blue paw print that says, "I support Springboro teachers and staff." That should tell you right there, because thanks to the teachers' unions, the reason why the schools are so shitty. The bottom line is this. Me and Coles support students and families. We're the actually faction that actually matters, because we're the ones paying the goddamn bill. We should be able to decide what the hell goes on in these damn school systems. Here's another shenanigan they're pulling. Jim Regano, who also has a day job, basically said, "Hey, I would appreciate it if you don't schedule meetings on these particular days, because I have out-of-town business meetings on these particular days." What do? They go and schedule a meeting, then they go and change it. And then they find out when he's going to be out of town, and they change it again and make sure they do it when he's not there. Petroni, what the fuck is he doing? He's basically sounding like to me, he's twiddling his thumbs or sitting on them, one or the other. Because I don't see much opposition. Regardless if you're outvoted, you can at least have a dissenting opinion. You know what I mean? So Kelly's going to go over some of the crazy shit that's going on. When she left, Springboro had passed a rollback levy to get money back to the taxpayer, which is to the tune of $1.3 million. Well, now Petrie is saying we need to have another levy because of the fact that we're short. What are you short? Basically, the $11 million surplus that Coles left, they've already squandered. It's gone. And I said that on a post not too long ago. I said, give it 2 years. I said, they will have that goddamn thing in a deficit once again. And then it's going to be going back to pay to play. First of all, how many goddamn curricular activities does Springboro need? They probably got, what, 35 different sports? Who fucking pays for this shit? Us. I mean, do you really need an Olympic-sized swimming pool? Do you need a bowling alley? Do you need some of these other extracurricular activities? Extracurricular does not mean extra credit. How in the hell are you able to participate in all these damn extracurricular activities if you're not home doing homework? I don't understand that shit. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I know this has been replicated through every major suburban school system all throughout Ohio and all throughout the rest of the country. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Okay, we also see that Donald has also jumped into the race. Oh my God! They've really made it a dog and pony show when it comes to Republicans. I mean, there's what, one bullshit challenger to Hillary? It just goes to show that the Democrats are bankrupt in the arena of ideas. They have no idea what to do. She's the automatic status quo de facto tyrant that's going to be for the Democrats. What are we possibly going to be stuck with? Jeb Bush? Dude, I can tell you this right now. Especially if Jeb Bush becomes our nominee and I'm in the GOP, I will never, ever vote for a Republican on the national scale ever again. I'll worry about who's in the state of Ohio, but I'm not going to give a flying fuck who's running for Senate. I don't give a shit who's running for Congress. I don't give a shit who's running for president. There's nothing I can do about it. They don't listen to us. They do whatever the fuck they want as soon as they get in there. And the two or three in Congress that we have that actually matter, like Thomas Massey and Justin Amash, they're basically turned into Ron Pauls. They're basically shoved in a course and all crazy and go wrong and shut up. I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, it's a complete joke. I would honestly say, though, if when it comes to the primary, if I have to pick a GOP candidate for president, I will probably go with Rand Paul. He's the only other one really is different from anybody else. And he's not his father. He will genuflect to Israel. That automatically turns me off on any voting. I'm serious. I'm this close to not even thinking about voting GOP in the primaries at all for president. Fuck that shit. Because every single one of these characters that are on this damn page, they're all pro-Israel. They're all bow down to AIPAC, and they will not do anything to upset that balance. And I'm sorry. Ted Cruz said it right off the bat. If you don't stand with me standing for Israel, I don't want your vote. Fine, buddy. I've already unsubscribed from all your newsletters. I don't want to read your shit. You can go fuck up, go piss up a rope, dude. Because if you put another country before your own, that is a definition of subversion. That is a definition of treason. Treason used to be punishable by death. Not anymore. That's bullshit. So they keep comparing Kasich to Jeb Bush. There's not even a freaking name recognition, dude. Kasich doesn't even get on the national radar. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody cares. It would be different if he was kick-ass in the state of Ohio and started making a name for himself, but it's not the case. So, Kasich, you need to stop even thinking about running for office until you leave our office, dude. I mean, you're such a schpoz anyways, man. Nobody in the conservative movement is going to back your ass. I can tell you that right now. Okay, so that was the ticker thing there. I saw a couple other stories, too. CVS to buy Target pharmacies. They must have lost their ass after that hack a couple years ago, so they're allowing their shit to be consolidated. That's for sure, so that's very scary. This is something here really is disturbing. In Colorado, pot use can get workers fired. Employers, users closely watch court case. This guy's a paraplegic, dude. He's got some issues. He smokes medicinal marijuana, which is legal in the state of Colorado, but apparently it's not legal if you actually work. How does that work, dude? The guy's a quadriplegic, okay, which means probably from somewhere in the neck down, the dude's probably completely paralyzed, okay? He's probably got a lot of pain. He's probably from bad accident, God knows what. You know, me personally, pot is not my cup of tea. I can't even stand the smell. It makes me freaking nauseous. But I know a lot of people that responsibly smoke pot on a regular basis where they toke up every goddamn night. They make sure they got their munchies before they toke up, and they don't go out while they're baked, man. I'm totally cool with that, you know. But once you step out of that house and start going into the public arena, then it becomes my problem because you can go out there and hit my kid, you know. I'll run over some grandma because you can't see her, or you're just impatient because you want her to get on and eat your local taco, man. That's just completely crap. So that's how I look at it here. Some other interesting story, too, before we go into station break. Oh, yeah, we saw that the Rachel Dolezal has pretty much quit as head of the Spokane NAACP. This is another problem I have, too, with social engineers. They've got complete first thing to do is they destroy the family. Then what they do is they start pushing fags on everything. You remember back in the 80s? They always had a token black guy and the token gay guy in every freaking group. Shit, you know. Look at Revenge of the Nerds, man. In that particular case, the black guy was a fag. I mean, it was funny when the nerdy little kid basically said, oh, I made a javelin designed for his left wrist of throwing style. So there's a javelin bumping up and down and shit when he's running, doing the chariots of fire run, and then throws the javelin, you know. That's about the shit that goes on, man. Then I saw on Entertainment Tonight, they're doing a feature on The Talk, and what's her name, Joan Chen or whatever her freaking name is. She's up there doing her thing, and she's acting all teary-eyed, and she's like, oh, there's a transgender that's going to be on the new episodes of Big Brother. Of course, you know, she basically hosts that show as well, Big Brother Crap, which was actually a spinoff of the same shit that happened in the UK. It was big over there because multiculturalism is huge, okay? Brits don't even know what a British person is anymore because now they're being invaded by all these Muslims. They got all this social openness over there. Nobody even knows their freaking heritage anymore. I would be, you know, it's amazing to me because when you go over to England, they know their history, they know their heritage. They look at the damn monuments, okay? They look at the castles, they don't know the battles. Americans don't know shit. They don't know anything past, in this generation, they don't know anything past Bill Clinton. My generation, we didn't know anything past JFK. Wasn't even to be discussed. FDR was no longer an option anymore because obviously the guy died in office. So, I mean, they based on whoever was the last Democrat in office, that's the one you go back to. That shit you not, dude. That's a school union for you. What a shocker. I saw this. A former Dayton City paper owner files suit. A former owner has sued his successor, claiming he was not paid in full under terms of a 2009 agreement. That's funny as shit, dude. If it's the guy I'm thinking of, that guy doesn't pay anybody. I used to contribute stuff all the time. And you know when they switched it from Impact Weekly to Dayton City Paper, you know why they stopped taking my articles? Because they weren't negative. I shit you not, is exactly what he said. I'd write an album review by a local band, okay? And I list all the good things about the record, especially if I knew anything about the band's history, if it was an improvement, maybe a step down. But if I didn't write enough bad shit about the album, they didn't like that. They wanted me to slam any hard rock band that I would review. I'm like, really? But yet you guys got these ugly-ass dudes with scraggly beards and these flannel shirts that are tight, and you guys think that's cool-ass music with stretchers in your ears? Oh, man, dude, you know, like the Afghan wigs. Nobody listens to that fucking shit, dude. Get a life, man. You ever go to the shows and see who shows up these gigs? These punk bands and these other things? Nobody shows up for that shit. You go to a decent hard rock band, like when Dr. X or Shovelhead was around, man, the places are packed. Man, they were packed because they knew we were getting a good band, they were going to get a good show, man. You know, Dayton was this close to being the next Seattle until Corporate Radio killed that shit. Well, that's it for this one. Got a big, big update with here in the next from the top of the hour. Also got some interesting stuff on how Kroger keeps on pushing vaccinations. And we have a lot of updates on what's going on, red light cams in the Dayton area, as well as an update for The Greatest Story Never Told. So that works out pretty damn good. Fortunately, I may not be able to play any ads, actually, because it looks like my Wi-Fi may be down. Things just aren't working too well out on the farm. Oh, this hella sucks. Actually, trying to kill two birds with one stone. Toto, if you do me a favor, I'd like you to copy and paste Kelly Coles' post that she forwarded from her page to Bolo and Burrow, and if you could, message that to me directly because of the fact that my Wi-Fi just took a shit. So we're going to try to see if this will work at all. If not, then we'll probably know that it definitely ain't working. We're having some issues. So we're going to try this and see what happens. Yeah. That's what happened when I was trying to play the music earlier. That Wi-Fi took a shit. Okay, well, that's just dandy, dude. Well, we'll try this. We'll restart that. Okay, we can't play any ads today because the shit doesn't work. Oh, that's just wonderful. Okay, so I guess we'll just go ahead and dive into it, shall we? Recently when I was at Kroger picking up some groceries, you know, you go scan your car and all that bullshit, you know. I've told you a couple different ways I get around that because of the fact that the bottom line is they keep track of all the shit you buy, and with Obamacare kicking in, if your family has any type of health issues such as diabetes or gout or anything like that, they'll look at and see how much sugar and meat, respectively, that you're buying, and they'll basically start kicking your ass on premiums. Well, another thing is they keep pushing these damn vaccinations. I have two tickets here that just came out of the machine last week. One saying, are your vaccinations up to date? Your Kroger pharmacist can help determine which vaccinations are right for you and your family. Just ask. Right. Let's throw this one out the fucking trash. And here's the other one. All of your prescriptions, all online. Okay, that's good to know. So somebody could probably hack your system and know my shit there too. Okay, we'll throw that in the circular file then. Okay, that is very fun indeed. Wi-Fi is still taking a shit. Okay, so we're going to have to just wing it. See what's going on here. Okay, here's another interesting story. I found on the Dayton Daily on Wednesday, June 17th. Cities with no cameras see spike in violations. Now, I know the Dayton Daily News is very much pro-red light camera. So, I looked through this article. Once again, written by Steve Benish, who I do believe is possibly a Jew. And also, shockingly enough, at the end of the article, actually had his phone number. Wow. So, I called the son of a bitch and left a message and asked him a straight-up question. And he replied and gave me a straight-up answer. It says here, violations by the numbers. It says here, study, once devices are shut off, drivers let loose. It says, violations by the numbers. Basic figures from May 2014 compared to May 2015. Violations per 100,000 vehicles. In Trotwood, up 77.5%. From 126.5 to 224.6. Springfield up 47% from 94.4 to 138.8. Bear in mind, those two cities are both largely black. West Carrollton up 39.8% from 168.6 to 225.9. And Middletown, which has got a large black population, up 34.2% from 89.4 to 120. So I called and asked specifically, dude, how are you getting these figures? If these cameras are shut off, who's out there collecting this data? Because the article mentions nothing about it. Okay? So I think it says a lot. He did call me back and say, well, actually, you are right. The cameras aren't off. They're actually on. The police just aren't issuing citations. I was like, oh, so you're telling me that they're still recording license plate and vehicle information for a potential vehicle that rings up on their shit. They're just not issuing tickets. So you're still violating my Fourth Amendment rights of being safe and secure, my personal effects, so you can still get your goddamn shit. So that way when you go to court to fight this in the Ohio Supreme Court, you can say, look at all these stats. Look, once the devices are off, drivers let loose. Whatever, dude. You keep on oppressing human nature, you're going to get more and more people going to blow back in other ways. So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing in its own right, and I'm glad he gave me a call back. The bottom I have here was this Rachel Dolezal identifies black. Let me tell you something, sweetheart. Just because your folks adopted four black children, and all of a sudden you start picking up a black dialect, and then you decide to become a mud shark, and then you go and you go to a black university and get some sort of degree, Then you sue them because they didn't do something right for you, or whatever the case would be. Just because you marry a black guy and pop out one of his chitlins doesn't make you black, bitch. It makes you a mud shark. So you need to find out what your true ethnicity is, because I tell you what, if you file for any school loans or anything like that and identify yourself as black, that is fraud, sweetheart. Not only could you have your degree taken from you, but you could be looking at prison time. Prison time, because of the fact that that is fraud from the federal government, not state, federal. So you're looking at going to federal pen for at least 6 months to a year, bitch, because of the fact that you stole money from the government saying that you black when you know you goddamn well you white. So until you start going out there and losing that accent and start straightening out that hair, you ain't going to be nothing but a white poor trash girl who basically likes blacks. Don't get me wrong. You want to be an advocate for the NAACP and that's your passion? I'm cool with that. But act white, sister. Quit acting like a goddamn black person. Because let me tell you something. Blacks will look down on you. They're not going to look up at you and think, oh, you're a really cool liberal white person who's really helping us out. No, most black males, actually black females really resent you because they look at it and say, because white girls basically will bow down to a black guy's silver tongue ways. That's just the way it boils down to, dude. I mean, arguably, my generation, as well as, well, not so much my generation, but probably the generation right after mine, a lot of us owe our existence to Barry White, Marvin Gaye, and Al Green, okay? It wasn't for those guys putting the Sultans of Satin, putting out the music they did, some of us wouldn't exist today. I mean, you know, as I was telling a coworker not so long ago, I said, dude, you know that when you go into, if you're a chick and you come into a guy's house and he's playing, oh, let's get it on, oh, baby. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, you know it's up. But I'll be doggone and then start asking what's going on when you come over and you ain't going to be doing nothing. Mm-mm-mm. No, I don't think so. So it helps me know a little bit of Marvin Gaye's music to be able to have fun with those song titles. Okie dokie. Let's see if my shit's working. Nope. Still crashed. Oh, this is just wonderful. Okay. So, nevertheless, he did confirm that that information there was correct. So, let me see. I can't hit the link. I need you to copy and paste the actual text. I know it's a lot, and it's going to take a lot of messages, but that's a problem. I can't hit the link. Capiche. So, I'm trying to see what else is on here. I saw something else and it really caught my eye. And I thought I was going to. Yeah, who gives a shit about Donald Trump and his fake hair, dude? Yeah, there's not much else going on this particular issue. But anyways, okay, some other things we do have going on. Make a note of this. I should have the live link posted tomorrow afternoon, hopefully. But if you are in the Dayton area and you have Time Warner Digital Channel 991, you might want to set your DVR or watch it live for Saturday, June the 20th at 7:20 p.m., I do believe. The Greatest Story Never Told teaser debuts. I don't think Dennis Wise has it posted yet on the Greatest Story Never Told.tv website yet. I'm not an exact. I haven't been on it in a little while. I did mention to him, however, he did reference a comment that I had made, which described the thing, and did a really good job at beginning. My wife lies down right now, so I can't recite all the information. But that debuts this Saturday evening at 7:20 p.m. That works out pretty good. Yeah. So the full film, I'm hoping to have it prepped and ready to go, and hopefully I'm looking at two possible dates. I'm looking at late at night on August 31st, because it's a 6.5-hour documentary that that hopefully it'll, if I get it scheduled far enough ahead, that it'll start at late night on August 31st and will end by 4:45 the next morning on September 1st. Reason why, because I'm a big history buff. At 4:45 a.m. on September 1st, 1939, Germany invades Poland. So, the problem is I can't show parts of this film because of the fact it's not suitable for children during the day because, obviously, it's the ravages of war, and especially later on when they show when the Russians were absolutely raping, pillaging, and killing all the ethnic German people as they came across in their path. So those are parts that won't be able to be aired initially during the day, just because of the fact that it's not suitable for children. And understandable. War is never a sight to be seen. You got children's faces bashed in by rifle butts. It doesn't really set up much for certain people, that's for sure. But nevertheless, very powerful documentary, hoping to debut by the beginning of September on the channel. Now, after it does its initial run, which is usually about a month, month and a half, especially with being that long of a documentary, it may air a couple times a week, or they may stagger it out longer because they may have it run on like Sundays or something like that, whatever the case may be. We'll reissue it in 6 parts to coordinate with the actual 6 discs, but we'll break it down into 6 parts and start running it. But then, Kyle Hunt, who I interviewed a few weeks ago, his documentary film, which is excellent, by the way, Hellstorm, the genocide of Nazi Germany, just debuted on May the 1st on YouTube in its full entirety. I actually donated like $20 to his cause, which he actually needed that money to help get some good graphic programs for it, and it was well worth the money spent. I mean, the graphics on that, especially in between the footages, are really state of the art. I mean, they were really good stuff. So to me, it really helped his documentary. And his documentary struck a chord so much that the BBC had to put out their own version of it and basically show that, say that the United States, especially the UK, didn't do any raping in the West. It was all Russia in the East doing it. In other words, if we can keep saber out in Russia and make them look like bad people, then we're going to keep up that false description. Nevertheless, came across a television show on TNT. Again, I don't really have cable, and I don't waste time watching television. I don't have time. Every now and then I'll come across like a video or something, and I'll check it out. There's a TV show that started in 2013, I do believe, called The Last Ship. It stars Rona Mitra from Doomsday and also features a guy named Eric Dane. And there's one other familiar face on that show. His name's Adam Baldwin. No, he's not related to Alec. You notice this guy on Independence Day. He was one of the guys that was with their entourage. Matter of fact, he was like the Air Force guy or whatever that was shooting through the glass to get to the aliens that was wrapped around the Brent Spiner's character. He's the XO. The storyline is basically this. They're on essentially a smaller destroyer, and on a 4-month secret mission to go to the Antarctic and get certain samples, whatever. And then they're attacked, and they find out while they're on there that the whole world is dying from a bio-released virus or something like that, which is spreading like wildfire, which could very well happen, actually, because a lot of our cities are so packed and we keep people so close to each other, it would be a major issue. But the concept behind it is very interesting, but I don't know how they could make more than 2 seasons out of it because of the fact that you're limited on stories. And not only that, if I know I have a scientist on board my ship who's trying to find the cure, creating a vaccine, or whatever the case may be, first thing I would do is I would map out all the places where I know I could get fuel, because unfortunately this is a nuclear-powered vessel. So they run on regular fuel, and so you go to your places, get the fuel that you need, and then try to get whatever provisions, because, you know, these ships typically have maybe up to 6 months worth of food, with a crew complement of 217, that's a lot of mouths to feed. It's not like they're on an aircraft carrier, but the bottom line is typically they usually have midship refueling and refooding in between. But nevertheless, they'd already been out to sea for 4 months and had to go back up the Atlantic again if they were attacked, and then France gets nuked in the process. But what I would have done is, this particular case, they managed to make it to Gitmo. It's in, like, the third episode. So do the few people that are left there. It said they only got 5 weeks worth of food out of that, which I thought was interesting. And then they get stopped by a Russian admiral who basically wants secrets to the vaccine, which the scientists have, because of the fact that the other scientist is actually giving away their position or some shit. It's actually pretty interesting. But, like I was telling a coworker, I was like, you know, I don't understand this shit. What I would do in that particular case is, unless I knew Guantanamo Bay was now completely shuttered off, and unless you knew that there wasn't going to be any biohazards there, I would have stayed there long enough to get whatever extra equipment I could get my hands on, if anything was available, keep the fuel up to par, eat whatever food was left there, or I'd go find some island out in the sticks somewhere where I know I wouldn't have any type of contamination going on, park the damn ship, rotate your crew for shore leave, and then have your scientists basically just keep scrambling their brains trying to find out a cure for this thing. Like I said, I understand that. I mean, you're not on nuclear power, so you don't have a power source for up to 2 decades. So you have to constantly get fuel. So what I would do is I would just park it by an island somewhere and wait it out, man, until your scientists come up with something. You know what I mean? That's what I would do. And if you're rotating your crew onto the island stuff, nobody's getting bored. Yeah, considering half the world is dying off, you might be better off. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. But it's got a good cast, and does give a little more appreciation for naval commanders. It's kind of like bio version of what happened in Battleship is one way I kind of look at it. If you saw the movie Battleship with, what's his name, Taylor Kitsch or whatever, good flick. It didn't suck at all, actually. It was pretty sweet. I was like, yeah, I've got your chicken burrito. So that was pretty good stuff. But anyway, all right, let's see if, ooh, wow. Hope I can download this while I'm doing this. Nope. Fortunately, can't do it while we're still on the air because the technology crashes. One can't do the other. Oh, well, thanks for trying, because the fact that I was really hoping to cover that. There's a lot of details there. Anyway, so, and the worst part is I couldn't even take calls right now because my board doesn't work. So I'm up the creek with that paddle in that particular situation. Okay, so what else should we talk about? I had a bunch of stuff in front of me, but now since half my shit doesn't work, a little hard to upkeep. So nevertheless, there's a lot of crazy shit that's going on there. I'm trying to think of some movies I've seen recently that actually caught my attention. I finished The Doors, Live at the Bowl 68, which is a new version of Live at the Hollywood Bowl. They took the footage. They did a lot of cleaning up with it. Unfortunately, it makes the stage look very dark in the background. There's a lot of contrast. So it's the contrast out, which makes everything dark. Some scenes in the video, you can really see the stubble on Morrison's face very clearly, almost like you're standing right next to the guy. Other scenes, not so much. However, 3 songs were restored from original broadcast that were never seen in the original video. Hello, I Love You, The Wasp, Texas Radio, Big Beat, and what was the other track that they featured? Is it Spanish Caravan? Yeah, because like one of the only times they played Spanish Caravan live. But anyways, they did a really good job doing it, and Bruce Botnick, who engineered a lot of stuff and produced the last album, the L.A. Woman album, went over a lot of detail about how he fixed the reason why those other three songs were not included is because Morrison's mic kept cutting out. So they were able to try to nail some of that stuff down with some of the original tapes, and they managed to take bits and pieces of words from other shows that he had said either the same thing or something similar to it and put them in. And actually did a really good job, and he was upfront with the fans about it, so it's not like he's doing anything shady. But he did a really good job restoring the songs, especially on Hello, I Love You. So really was a cool thing because I got to watch him use some of the software. I think he was using Pro Tools. But nevertheless, I do a lot of video editing myself, so I was like, kid to kid, so I was like, oh, that's how he did that. I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, let's see what else. Other flicks I've watched recently I thought kind of caught my attention. I'd seen The Boy Next Door with Jennifer Lopez. Wasn't bad. And I thought the love scene was actually very tastefully done. And I believe it's the same Rob Cohen who did the Fast and Furious film. So, nevertheless, I thought it was pretty good. What other movies did I see recently? Oh, I saw Seventh Son. It was okay. CGI is really good, but the story is kind of janky. And Kill the Messenger. I highly recommend you get Kill the Messenger. It's about journalist Gary Webb when he exposed the CIA bringing all the cocaine in and paying for all their operations with the drug war stuff. When he exposed that, he had a bullseye on his back. Very, very good film. As a matter of fact, anyone who's in Politico, any type of Politico situation, I highly recommend you watch this film, especially the scene when the one guy calls him while he's still in bed and explains, okay, now that you've unleashed this thing, they're going to, how does it they say, controversialize you. In other words, they start to just besmirch your character. They have to destroy. First, they attack the story. When they can't attack the story and question its resources, well, actually, they've got the resources to try to get them to recant. Then what they do is they go and attack the person that put it out. And then they'll try to find every piece of dirt on somebody so that way they can totally besmirch your character and then nobody's going to pay attention to anything you say. That's just the way it is. That's what I mentioned about it. That's the problem with it is these damn people want that are fags or transgenders, and they want to go and, oh, I'm part of a group. Well, you go ahead and be part of that group because you know what's going to happen is you just marginalize yourself as an individual. In other words, the real problem you have is nobody's going to give a shit what you think because you're always going to be the gay vote. Nobody's going to give a damn about what your stances are on abortion. Nobody's going to give a damn what you think about illegal immigration. Nobody's going to give a damn what you honestly think about fiscal policies. You're queer. Go away. In other words, we don't need you until November. Go bite the bullet before you go bite the bone. You know what I mean? That's pretty much how they look at it. So they're totally marginalizing themselves. Ron Paul warned against that in one of his speeches. But who's that guy, right? He don't know shit. Right. Ron Paul's known more about social engineering and fiscal issues than you, me, and 17 other people in the same room will ever help. That is for certain. Okay. Yeah, I know you did. You did a good job. So that's pretty much the end of that one. But like I said, it's really hard to really take the SPLC much more than a grain of salt. Oh, yeah. This guy's name is Dylan Roof. What a freaking name. And the SPLC is going off on Dylan Roof's Confederate flag. Who cares? You can't be from South Carolina and not have the Southern Cross in your freaking arm, dude. You're not a Southerner. You know what I'm saying? That would be like me not owning a state of Ohio flag in my possession. Really? I mean, we don't have as much nationalism or statism in a positive aspect of the word, like we should. We used to come from sovereign states. Now we're just, you know,
we could basically bequeath our sovereignty to anybody. Now, but the biggest thing is that I saw somewhere that I think the Senate had totally passed fast-track shit for Obama. Democrats had actually stopped this TPP bullshit in the House. The problem is that they're going to push it through when nobody's watching. It's going to be the end of July when everybody's out having a good time, spending time with their family and girlfriends and wives and husbands and all this other shit. And the bottom line is nobody's going to notice that the damn TPP all of a sudden got passed. And then Obama systematically will destroy this country in less than probably 6 months he'll be in office because of the fact that we saw how disastrous NAFTA, CAFTA, and GATT are. This is literally the last nail in the coffin. This exerts what's left of our sovereignty. This also gives international health insurance companies carte blanche to come in here and basically dictate terms. And then what are you going to do about it? Because unless you live in the state of Ohio, if you don't pay Obamacare, they'll fine you. And if you still fucking do it, they'll fucking throw you in jail. So, I mean, again, how is it illegal to be in debt? Well, gee, apparently it is. You know? What I really find egregious is, at least in the state of Ohio, we had updated provisions, so now you have to 6 months to pay child support. The problem is, if you don't pay in that time period, it turns into a felony. And I think that's bullshit, dude, because they're just totally, maybe the guy can't pay it or he's not wanting to pay it for some reason. Maybe he has a legitimate argument with the court, and you know how long the courts take to even get court dates, much less get things resolved. I'm still waiting on results on a court case regarding a former landlord. I still don't have the freaking shit from that yet. I mean, they just take their own sweet time, man. Matter of fact, I remember years ago I had a court case I was disputing about something. It took them 6 months, man, which is very unusual. 6 months getting my paperwork back to tell me what was going on. And then half of it was bullshit anyway. So I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? And the courts are so slow. Unless they are out to get something like in Warren County, they will move it along in a very good time period and make sure you don't know what's going on or you done forgot, and boom, they knock you over the head. That's just the way it is. It's a complete joke. So you can't win for losing. So anyways, another film I just picked up starring Jude Law called Black Sea. Supposed to be pretty interesting. Started to watch it a little bit last night, but fell asleep on it. And didn't get a chance to finish it, but looks pretty interesting. The guy's a former submarine commander, economic hard times. He's, some sort of marine, mineral transporter, something like that. I forget what it was. But basically, after 11 years in the job, he loses his job. They boot him out. He hears a story about a lost Nazi sub in the Black Sea that actually has full of gold because Stalin was supposed to pay off Hitler. And since Hitler never got the gold because something happened, that's why he invaded Russia. But in all actuality was, Hitler had actually found out that Stalin was already building up armaments to invade. In other words, he was already planning on breaking the non-aggression pact that him and Hitler had signed. It's just a matter of who was going to do it first. They were buying each other time. So that's why, unfortunately, that's why Hitler had to hurry up and attack in August, September of, was 1944? Or was it 43? 40, it was 42. And that's why he started losing his ass, because of the fact that he got stuck in the same problem with caught in the Russian winter and his troops weren't prepared for it. I mean, one of the largest armies ever captured was at Stalingrad, dude. They got screwed. Totally got screwed. Was not fun at all. So, a lot of interesting stuff that is actually popping up as far as history is concerned. I mean, we're starting to see some really good documentaries popping out, too. The fact that Great Story Never Told cracked the ceiling and Hellstone broke through it to the point that BBC had to do essentially a rebuttal that way they can cover their ass, says a lot. And a lot of people are viewing these two films. It's amazing how many people I've come across just on Facebook who have seen The Greatest Story Never Told, and they're all like, holy shit, their eyes are awakened. It's just like another layer of the onion that's been peeled off to see the rotten core of the New World Order. Even Obama is basically stating now, well, with all the shit that's going on in the world, is that, you know, blah, 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 this country's not doing things, there's bloodshed in various places, it's time for a New World Order. So I mean, he's basically... he's putting that stuff out, man. It's not... he's letting you know exactly something's going to hit the fan. I'm telling you, he's not going to leave office. He's going to make damn sure he stays in it. Not very insightful, that's for sure. All right, let me go to C and check some info here. Wow. All 50 states fail to meet standards on use of lethal police force, Amnesty International. That says a lot. That really does. That does say a lot. Well, like I said, trying to cover some of the main details that are going on. But arguably, I may just go ahead and cut it a little early because of the fact that with all my systems down, I don't have the information in front of me, and there's a lot of stuff I want to cover, but fortunately, I'm stuck in the middle, so can't even play any extra tunes or nothing like that. Of course, the opening song tonight, you know, apologize if it takes a long because of technical difficulties, the Psycho Circus by Kiss off their reunion album and the first actual studio record together since Dynasty in 1979. That was in 1998 off the title of the album Psycho Circus. And that's other, a lot of interesting stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, we're definitely screwed on a lot of technical stuff this evening, so I'm going to call it early for tonight and just cut the show a little bit short. So, you know, the bird gets the worm. So, anyways, I did want to recommend everybody, please check out my website at sunnythomas.com, it's remember teaparty.com or .org, cfccohio.org, the HMD Music Resource Guide at thehmd.com. And also check out our advocacy page on Facebook at Eric Alex Jones on WHIO.WDKRC, respectively. So those are the things that we're trying to get out there. So you can take Andy Dean off, which is one of the worst neocon pieces of trash I've ever heard on any radio network, and put on Alex Jones. That way, at least, if you want to know what's going on in the Republican Party, you'll listen to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. I think he's worse than Rush could ever be. And go from there. So I think it's kind of a joke. It really is. But at least if we can get him on starting on Sundays, I guarantee you their revenues are going to go through the roof because Alex Jones at least is a little more, I would say, entertaining, but definitely more informative and can contradict some of the shit you're hearing on the other big talk channel. So anyway, check one more time. Yep, my Wi-Fi is still crap. No, you're fine. It wasn't your fault. Okay, so that's pretty much then for this evening. I'm pretty much washed out, so we're going to cut it a little short. But anyways, like I said, hopefully we'll have confirmation tomorrow. Kelly Coles will be back on to talk about what's called the Ohio School Board Leadership Council, which is the antithesis to the Ohio School Board Association, and why it's actually doing some good, a lot of good stuff to educate people and get people run for school, school boards, and the things to look out for when they do get in there, and all the other stuff so they don't get hoodwinked and basically turn into nice little rubber stampers and keep passing those levies. So you got to say no to all future levies until they start getting the shit on the book straight, and we'll definitely do something there, that's for sure. Okay, so again, follow us on Twitter at
Truth Emerges Radio. It's Truth Emerges RDO. Truth Emerges RDO. You can also follow me at St. Thomas Show. The HND, that's THEHND on Twitter. You also want to follow me at CFCC Ohio. Alex Jones on WHIO. And then also last week, Springboro T on Twitter at Springboro T. And on YouTube, you can catch me also at Springboro T. And also St. Thomas Show on the number one on YouTube. That was that for everybody. Okay, so we're going to call it. We're leaving. As I said, we should hopefully have Kelly Coles on next week to talk about OSBLC. I'm looking forward to getting some other things off of her chest because obviously she's got a lot of corruption going on just within our school system. I'm sure this has been duplicated all across the country. This is not unique and it's not entirely unoriginal. So some of the shenanigans and excuses they have for these programs and pushing for the levies is an absolute sham and an insult to the taxpayers of the city of Springboro. But again, that could just be a typical thing. Okay, so again, Carla Fiorina still does not have any type of platform listed on her website except her accolades in the business world. I'm sorry, sweetheart, if you're going to run for office, you need to give us an idea where you stand on issues. I shouldn't have to wait to catch your speeches, whether video or person, to know where you stand. It's clearly obviously from the interviews I've heard thus far that 90% of what you would generally espouse, I would agree, but you are pro-gay marriage, pro-this, pro-that, and also you will genuflect to Israel. So I'm sorry, Carly, but in my opinion, as long as you're still to do, especially the last one, you're no longer an option to run for president. So I would highly recommend that you might want to consider saving yourself the hassle and just dropping it because you're not going to make it. Sorry, you're just not going to make it. Still want to hear your comments on some of the debates, but I've already heard how you feel about the Middle East, and I've also heard how you feel about Israel. So it's pretty obvious you are a sycophant, and you will genuflect to Bibi Netanyahu. But y'all want to bitch about Obama bowing down to the King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia? Fuck you. I think that's kind of funny. It's hypocritical as hell, but it's kind of funny. Okay, so make sure to check out Time Warner Digital Channel 991 on Saturday, June the 20th. At 7:20 p.m., and you see the trailer for The Greatest Story Never Told. You can also find it on the video section of facebook.com/St. Thomas Show/videos, I do believe, and you'll be able to see the clip for Greatest Story Never Told, the first teaser clip. There's a second one that we've also slightly modified and waiting to run at when it gets a bit closer to the airtime. So that'll work out pretty good, but nevertheless. Very powerful film, very well done, and the additional commentary in between the stuff is just very well done, period. And the soundtrack album is killer. You can download that for free. So that works out really good. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and call it a night for tonight. So, again, I want you to check out those websites and all that other good stuff. Shout out to my fellow newscasters out there and colleagues on the Truth Emerges Radio Network, as well as others that influence us, as well as we generally enjoy their contributions to the world of the information war. David Knight from InfoWars, you're definitely a hardworking cat, brother, and always looking forward to your commentary on the show when Alex isn't there. So nevertheless, you're a pretty sharp token in your own right, so it's pretty hard to fool you, that's for sure. Because you're on top of things. You're definitely an investigative reporter. That works out really well. Okay, so watch my hat, and we'll catch you next week, and hopefully we'll have confirmation from Kelly Coles on behalf of Ohio School Board Leadership Council and again, I want to stress that I hopefully have a live link tomorrow afternoon on where you can watch it. If you can't watch it online through your phone, you'll be able to watch it through your laptop and know exactly where Greatest Story Never Told is, but that is available on facebook.com/St. Thomas Show. Look at videos,
And also, you should be able to find out more information as well. So, again, from my understanding with Dennis, you should have some information on the Great Story Never Told website about when it debuts, as well as I'll keep him updated on other future air dates as well. So it definitely is going to be a major, major documentary debut, that's for sure. And then when Dan Sullivan, not Don, but Dan Sullivan up near Troy has his Article 17 film, Finish Ready to Roll, we're very much looking forward to debuting it on cable access as well, so people will be able to see it and check it out. So that'll work out pretty good. All right, so that's my hop, and we'll catch you next week. Over Dr. Kelly Coles, and we got everything covered. So, again, I'm just due to technical issues, plus I'm pretty zonked tonight. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with the delays. Thank you very much to my show contributors, to Toto, Bubble Tea, Space Cadet, and Corinne. You ladies are going to do some really great stuff and post some really good stuff, and I always appreciate your contributions to the show. So thank you very much for taking time out of your day or night to making sure that the page has good quality material for people to look up and see what's going on. We're definitely having an effect because we're slowly building up the likes. Twitter account's growing dramatically. And Truth Emerges Radio Network is near 1,000 likes on Facebook. And the Twitter is growing leaps and bounds as well. So we'll work out pretty good there. All right, well, this is Sonny Thomas signing off. And we'll catch you next week with, hopefully, Dr. Kelly Coles. And to launch my hop, go to thegreateststorynevertold.tv or spell out each letter, TGSNT.tv. So it's basically shorthand for The Greatest Story Never Told. So definitely get some popcorn, crack open a beer, sit down and watch it. It's 6.5 hours long. You got a Saturday, ain't doing much. It's well worth the sit down and watch, that's for sure. All right, we'll catch you next week. Sanchi Mahath, and we'll see you on the flip side.